not it's a sufficient logical reason to keep it in there.
I think it definitely comes out. Carpet, that's yeah. That's a given.
Yeah, we're kind of addressing it on the paragraph right above it.
Yeah, but I'm concerned about that now. Like, so you're responsible for floors, every ding in the floor. What? When did it become reportable?
No, you're not, because look at your other exclusion. your other exclusion says paint, wallpaper, and other finished treatments on interior walls, ceilings, and floors.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's...
Okay, it's perfect. The carpeting just comes out.
It just comes out because it can be covered.
So now you're only...
The interpretation can be covered.
Reserve the finished treatments. Because that's how it...
You're not required to.
Right. But you're now required to observe carpeting.
And so that's why we're taking that pig out of there.
Well... So I thought I was tracking with you, and now I'm not.
Okay, David was concerned with 11.1A1.
Right.
Okay, 11.1A, rather. Okay, which says the inspector shall observe walls, ceilings, and floors. Now, we're on interiors, right. So we're really talking about drywall, plaster, and floor coverings more than anything. We're not talking about structure here.
Right.
So, and then we define that a little bit tighter in 11.3. A, where we took out paint, wallpaper, and other finished treatments on interior walls, ceilings,
and floors. Don't have to address those.
Right.
So you're still, so I guess my concern would be if you have a very strong gash and a hardwood floor, you would still be required to report that.
I would.
Let's see.
It's
a finished treatment. Oh.
Well, is it finished if it's like a cut that goes into the floor? Like.
Yeah, it's super arguable, right? We're in trouble here because. Drywall, we're saying that if you put wallpaper on it or paint on it, don't have to worry about that. But if there's a big crack or damage to the drywall is not a finished material. We've decided that.
Right, it's a component.
That's a given. That's a component of this wall. So is the tile and hardwood floors a component of the floor system? I believe it is.
I would say yes, yeah. And their logic was carpeting was not.
And carpeting was not. Maybe because...
It's replaceable.
It is more readily replaceable, but I think to myself, I lived in a cheap 1990s KB home type thing growing up, and we had these really cheap linoleum tiles on the floor, and then there was like concrete or something underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I guess... Maybe this whole thing, maybe there just needs to be more work done to define what constitutes a finish or something replaceable versus the actual.
I'll bet you the carpeting is, condition of carpeting is so subjective and just unwieldy to deal with that they threw that in as a specific exclusion. That just straight up, we're not doing carpeting, period.
So why not keep it?
Exactly. Now I'm circling back to
why
not keep it there?
I kind of feel like we should keep it there, given we've pointed out it's replaceable. We've pointed out the logical consistency problems if we get rid of it.
So
what do you think?
Easily argued, like
I think it's covered.
Wear pattern
under other finished treatments. You
know, I spill coffee on this.
Exactly. There's stains and I don't know.
Roger had a good point.
It says other finished treatments.
Finished treatments. Carpeting could fit into that for floors.
What?
I don't see how carpeting is a finish or a treatment.
That's true. Finished treatments are actually...
Then we put floor coverings.
It's an important term, actually.
We put floor coverings in that sentence and write carpeting.
I don't know why we just don't leave carpeting separate.
It doesn't bother me in there or out, you know? This way, the phrase you missed at the doorways and things like that are not going to come back to bite the
feedback.
Yeah. All right. What's the next one, David?
Oh, I guess, okay. So, to actually get to the concern that was brought to us, why not all floor coverings? Should we just say, or any other floor covering?
Well,
like a rug.
Well, we don't do rugs. They're already excluded. In the primary, they're excluded in the primary exclusions with the drapes. Drapes and rugs and stuff like that.
So then it's already covered.
Yeah.
So 12.1C.
drapes, blinds. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on.
I'm agreeing with you. I think we can.
Yeah, they're already in there.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm. I think that concerns it. So 12.1C, better wording would be kitchen, bath, and laundry exhaust systems.
All right, I didn't agree. Because we really are talking about venting systems. He wants to change, Roger, he wanted to change the word venting systems to exhaust systems for kitchens, baths, laundries. Okay? But a window in any one of those rooms meets the requirement.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a mechanical vent. Even a passive ceiling vent meets the requirement.
That's what's wrong. I gave you that.
So,
well,
sorry to interrupt your
I gave it back. Oh, you're not sitting over there. Okay.
I'm more leaning towards leaving venting systems alone because it can be an exhaust system or it could be just a passive venting system. And he wants to change venting to exhaust systems.
And I think it's... I agree with you. And I think the reason is if there is a vent system in the, say, laundry room, that thing has to be inspected.
Right.
And then a window would not apply in that case.
Well,
right?
A window would be the venting system.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you just said exhaust systems...
Right, the window's not an exhaust.
Then...
Yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So I...
Leave it alone.
We're not going to do that.
Okay. What was the next one?
12.2B. Agreed, you said.
Yeah, I agreed to that. I would strike 12.2B because 12.2B says...
Describe
insulation. 12.2B, absence or same of insulation, vapor retarders, and unfinished spaces.
I agree with absence anything that's part of the use of the word same.
Space, absence of same and unfinished space or conditioned surfaces.
Why did that happen?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I get what it's supposed to say. It's just a really
goofy way to do it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So since we have to report on the installation of vapor retarders and unfinished spaces, well, if it's not there, we're going to say it's not there, right?
So presence or absence, and we just have it all in A.
Presence or absence, if we wanted to get even better, when required, in parentheses.
Oh, yeah. Because they're not required in Arizona.
Well, in certain parts of Arizona they are.
What, up north? Coconino? Coconino County?
Vapor retarder?
Yeah.
They're not required?
I haven't seen them required.
They're,
not my area.
So what are we asking the inspector to consult? Are we saying county code, city code? What are we, when required by what?
Where are you have when required?
Actually, in our supplement, we say we do expect you to move
a bit
of insulation to verify whether the vapor retarder is there.
Right.
And vapor retarders prevent the migration of vapor or condensation or moisture in the atmosphere, and it really is applicable in cold climates.
Mm-hmm.
So in Phoenix, Tucson,
right,
but no vapor retarders needed ever.
So
once
say,
you get to cold country.
So once we say when required, what are we asking the inspector to make a subjective judgment that this is the type of climate where that's necessary, or are we asking them to consult code?
No, we're asking
never code.
Never code. So.
It's trouble, huh? It always has been.
But how about if required? No, that's the same thing.
Presence or absence?
Of insulation.
Of insulation and vapor retarders in unfinished spaces.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
That's
presence
fine.
Or absence by itself.
That's
fine.
That'll work.
Yeah.
And we scratched B out of there completely?
Yeah. B is omitted.
Well, yeah, it's redundant because the only vapor barrier you're going to find in A will be if against conditioned surfaces.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's redundant.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Because what you're going to find...
Yes, it is.
Why take it and fix it?
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on.
And that's it.
Okay, there are many of them.
Primary doors and windows. We did not do this alphabetically. Or maybe we screwed up.
I just followed what
he he didn't object to... we did have primary function in when we reviewed that. I was kind of wondering why he didn't say why my definition was wrong. Sorry.
Okay,
I'm
my question
uncomfortably self-deprecating here.
What is a window? Define to me a window or a door that does
storm.
Not remain in its respective openings year-round.
Storm windows.
Storm windows. Why don't we just say storm windows?
And then...
That's what that was for. We don't, and of course, I have been seeing storm windows in the older houses downtown. But the... and there's such a cracker. We're out in Mesa where the old-timers coming in from the north really love to double up on the glaze. And
how does it lead? Where does it go?
Yeah.
I like how you wrote that.
What did I write?
That was the afternoon.
Where do you find a window or door that is not designed to remain in its respective openings year-round? What does the unit look like? How does it leave and where does it go? I was mean. Cute.
So you don't like the word primary in there? Why don't we just take the word primary out?
Well, wait a minute. It's the definition.
I know.
So it must be in...
Where did it come from?
Where is
it supposed to be in the glossary?
It's in the glossary.
So you must inspect...
It's only in the glossary?
Well, Kurt's looking.
I think it is only in there. Oh, no. It's in 11.2A.
What we say just non-storm windows.
Operation representative number of windows and interior doors. We hate to put an exclusion in shell. We would really want the exclusion down below.
So take out primary there?
Well, no, for the keep. I actually like having that term there and defined.
11.2A?
Yes, because... Peter was saying, you don't want a non, because the only thing you're thinking about excluding is a storm window. So the only way I could think of putting that in 11.2A is you're required to operate these things except storm windows, or you're required to operate non-storm windows, and that violates that other rule that Peter was talking about. So I'd rather just have it there and defined.
So a storm window, let's see. A storm window is just like if it were a slider or a single hung, either one, it would be a fixed piece of glass on the outside that gets screwed in. So it's often its use is because the original home had single pane leaky window assemblies.
Gotcha.
And so you put this other one on, it's not as good as a fully manufactured in a factory system, but it's better. You know, it creates an airspace. It's another barrier to...
So is there a good justification for using a word other than primary?
There's a justification to take the word primary out.
Okay, so you're required to operate a representative... You're right. You're required to operate a representative number anyway. If you can't operate the storms, you can still operate a representative number
from the inside. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So just
now, but don't forget that there are storm windows that do operate, right?
Sure.
You know, and
you'd be required to open those. So.
Yeah. I would.
And actually, if that's the case, that further undercuts having storm windows excluded. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Remove primary and remove the definition.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, is there any other part of the definition I want?
Yeah, strike the whole thing. Good. Next one.
Kurt, can you go back just to double check?
Oh.
I just wanted to see the, I didn't see what the final language looked like for that one.
There it is.
Yep, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay, now cross connections. I didn't agree. What did Bruce say about?
Consider removing any for source of contamination.
Okay, what most of these guys are forgetting is that cross contamination is any contaminants to potable water, and it comes in all sorts of forms. Like I know that there is being cued again, but you know if. A cross-contamination could be gas into the system, could be solids into the system, could be liquids into the system, okay? Most of them are liquids coming from the dishwasher or from the hose bibs, but a solid is the one that actually these were written for, getting shit into the water, okay? But you can also draw gas into a system. And water is a wonderful conduit for gases, such as methane gases. For instance, when a guy hooks up a water softener and without a trap in the system runs it into a vent in the attic, when that vent is venting methane gases, the water softener, when it cycles, draws those methane gases in and distributes them through the water plumbing system. As little bubbles, you don't really see them coming out of the faucets, okay? That's also a cross-contamination. So what they need to do is trap that. That's why the new builders are putting to the laundry where we have a replenishable trap, but also you can put a trap in the tubing, the discharge. It really has curve in the discharge, and that'll hold water.
No, I'm listening. I'm engrossed.
So my point was contaminations come from all matter. They come from solids, liquids, and gases. So leaving the word any in there makes good sense.
Okay, the oddity here is there's two any's in just this short little sentence. Okay. And as near as I can tell, he's talking about taking this one out only.
Oh, is he talking about wordsmithing?
It seems like. Read it. Consider removing any for source of contamination.
I don't think he's wordsmithing.
Because of his comment, this is much too broad. I don't think he's talking about wordsmithing.
Well, I would read the any here and make that a physical connection.
I agree with that.
A physical connection or arrangement between potable water and any source of contaminant.
If you read Bruce's notes, he says this is much too broad. I don't think he's talking about just wordsmithing. I think we just have a policy disagreement.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So I'm good
with that. Or I disagree. Words. I think that's what I said. I disagree. Anyway, Roger?
I'm kind of lost on this one.
Cross connections?
Yeah.
Okay, pee in the water tank?
Oh, yeah.
Gas, methane gas, or drawn into the water system? What was the first one?
Well, no,
poop in the water
tank? Discussion is, are we going to keep it? Are we going to modify it?
No, we're going to modify it to a physical connection or arrangement between potable water and any source of contamination. See what he did there? You were there already.
I just wanted to look where I was in the actual.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there it is.
So it's just under plumbing, and you shall observe
cross connections.
No, I'm good with it.
Okay, and then
danger. Maybe don't need AFCI, GFCI in definitions, common consumer terms. I think we.
What did we do for that?
How we define them? AFCIs. Type of safety device that is designed to quickly shut off electrical power, GFCI. What, we scratched the definition of GFCI?
No, I think we moved it.
Oh, okay. There it is. Ground fault circuit interrupter.
I think it might be
type
helpful.
Type of safety device is designed to quickly shut off an event of ground fault.
It might be helpful to keep it just for the benefit of consumers.
Yeah. I have no problem with keeping it.
Dangerous.
The definitions of GFI and AFCI, I think, would be good.
Yeah, we did.
Because we can refer back to them.
Yeah.
You know, over the phone, whatever, or on site.
Right.
Dangerous. Should include danger to other or property damage.
I think we cover property damage elsewhere, so I don't know.
Well, he was in 4. He's taken it out of context. Will you highlight danger and dangerous or adverse situations and see where it shows up in the report? Thank you, Kurt. But I think it's really in 4.2C, where it, the term is directly refers to the inspector entering a crawl space or an attic.
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
And therefore, I don't think we need to change anything.
I agree. I think it's fine as it is.
So I hate to interrupt and take you back to where you were, but if you would go back to cross connection.
Yes.
I have a suggestion about that. Because it looks like the way it's currently defined, it looks like the connection and arrangement is occurring between water and any other source of contaminant. And so what I would suggest is you say any physical connection or arrangement between potable water or any other source of contamination. No, I guess and is appropriate there. I see. It has to include the water, so never mind. I'm okay. Sorry.
No problem. No problem. We're doing the same.
But you could say any two.
Yeah.
No, never mind.
Yeah,
contamination never mind.
Comes from all sorts of places.
Okay.
Yeah, never mind. Sorry.
No trouble at all. Yeah, no dangerous or adverse is built for that particular situation, so I don't see the need to alter it.
And it was, remember what number that was? Oh, no, it's definition, dangerous. Okay, hang on. I want to see what he had to say about that.
Should include danger to others or property damage.
Yeah, but no. The only place it's referred to is damage or danger to the inspector for crawling in, and property damage is already covered. Yeah, leave it alone.
He said, "Should include dangers to others."
Yeah, but there's no one else crawling in there with you, David.
Yes.
It, when you put it in context, it's when the home inspector's crawling into an attic. Or into a crawl space.
Yeah, I don't really agree with it. I'm just saying that's what he said.
Yeah, there aren't any others. Unless there's somebody in the attic that you're going to have a homeless person or something.
Functional flow and functional drainage. Reasonable. Is reasonable a better term than acceptable? Like if this is a little bit subjective, the way we're not using instruments to test it, so it's basically a field test of, based on our experience, which term seems best, reasonable or acceptable?
Reasonable, you are making a judgment based on, I'm just trying to think for a second.
I don't like acceptable, it's a pass or fail type feel, and reasonable is more within a zone, is what it feels like to me. Just based on.
I'm always like reasonable myself.
Me too, I never had a problem with that.
I had no need to change that.
Yeah.
I said.
He says reasonable amount of time. Yeah, he says there could be many reasons for flow issues.
But we don't have to determine the reason.
You don't have to, yeah.
We just have to determine whether it's reasonable. If
it
it's clogged or
something. It's fine the way it is. I would not go with acceptable, reasonable, has to be established.
How about normal amount of time? All right.
Normal. What's normal?
Yeah.
No, reasonable is almost better.
Reasonable always is better. That's what I said. It's not reasonable, then what?
Readily openable access panel.
We're getting really close.
We are getting close. We dealt with that. Readily open. Open
we talked about its
panels.
Size, right?
That's
we added the size.
Well, did we address his concern as you remove last sentence of definition and edges and fasteners are painted in place may not be helpful?
I wrote agreed to ditch the last sentence. Let me see what's it saying.
Limited to those panels within normal reach or from a 4 foot step.
Oh well, yeah,
are not blocked by.
I'm all for throwing that out. And the reason I would throw that out is because nowadays the whirlpools are up on the second floor. You've got to throw a ladder up to get to the access panel to look underneath the whirlpool tub, you know. And we need to do that. So a 4 foot step ladder is not going to reach that.
So what? You're talking about
yeah.
Moving a sentence?
Yeah, look up that. Limited to.
Why would we want to get rid of that?
Because some of these panels are much higher than a 4-foot stepladder is going to get you to.
So it's limiting. We're limiting that we're only going to be checking the ones that are within normal reach from a 4-foot stepladder. That's the max. We don't have to pull out a 12-foot stepladder.
Yeah, how are you going to look underneath the whirlpool tub in the master bathroom on the second floor when the access panel's on the side of the house?
At some point it becomes unreadily accessible. Why not?
Well, you only go into readily openable access panels that is put there for homeowner use anyway, right?
So I would keep the sentence because you're cabining. The point is to cabin the number of access panels you're looking at, not to say you're going after every single access panel.
Yeah, the ones that are blocked by. That's a great sentence.
All right.
Don't you think? I think that
his comment was that Ashley has removed that last sentence, but I would keep it.
Roger?
I didn't even realize that was there.
Do you usually take a step?
And who walks around with a 4-foot step ladder?
I don't.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Is that right?
Well, I think it mainly applies to certain situations, you know, not every situation.
Change it to 6 feet. I agree.
We're getting taller. Six feet, so you can go to 12.
But it's good to have a limit of some kind. If it's blocked by stored items, we don't have to do it.
Right.
Furniture's blocking it,
right.
Building components
right.
Blocking it,
mm-hmm.
Or if it's way too high,
mm-hmm.
It's where it's unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
I guess actually the height limit, all those could actually, maybe the reason they took them out is because
I will say the
earlier
only time,
on, if
so
it's unsafe to the inspector, we don't have to. If it's blocked by stored items and
can you check
building
the
components,
that's
already
it's there. Already excluded.
Yeah.
That's why they took it out.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I just did that.
Yeah,
so that's just in heating and cooling. I don't know that your whirlpool example applies.
No, it's generalized in the very beginning that if it's unsafe to the inspector, we don't have to do it.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with your point. I'm suggesting.
Well, we have to operate the whirlpools.
Right. But we're talking about a definition,
mm-hmm.
Readily openable access panels. The only time we use that term is in 9.2,
mm-hmm.
which is heating, and 10 point something or other, which is cooling.
Mm-hmm.
So the whirlpool example, the specific real world example you pulled out,
mm-hmm.
doesn't apply. The whirlpool is not heating or cooling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tub. It's something completely different. So we're only talking about access panels for heating or cooling systems that are readily accessible. That's the only thing we're talking about with this definition. So. And yeah, I don't know why I didn't go through this and italicize those, Kurt. I apologize. That was
a really openable access panel. Wow, what a weird choice of how to do that. I thought I knew these standards really well.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, I'm blown away here.
I know you guys need to do more power lessons. You need to be more people these standards.
The other comment he said was edges and fasteners are painted in place may not be helpful.
Okay, but, well, you know, this generally applies when you're opening up an electrical panel. People paint them in, especially in condos, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to break that paint or you ruin the wall. You got to knife it out.
So you
and
know,
what they're saying is you don't have to knife it out. If you paint it in, you can walk away.
So if this came from the heating and cooling section only, this refers to the cabinets
mm-hmm.
of a blower
yeah.
compartment
mm-hmm.
to get to the filter, right?
Or
safety controls or whatever.
Right.
So sometimes they do have fasteners or they're painted, taped, often taped in place.
Mm-hmm.
So if this has no reference to anything other than heating and cooling, if we're going to leave it that way, then we kind of need to rethink what this even says.
Okay. The definition, you mean?
Yeah. So if there's Like, I'm trying to think.
Well, it says for homeowner maintenance. Just because we, I know that Aaron says that we just have it in heating and cooling, but just because it's mentioned in heating and cooling doesn't mean there's not going to be access panels elsewhere.
No, but the term, so access panel might be used elsewhere, but readily openable access panels is its own term. It's a specific type of access panel.
Two spots.
And so that term is only in those two spaces. You're right, there might be access panels. We're not defining access panels. We're just defining what a readily openable one is, where the standard specifically addresses readily openable.
I have to point out, too, I did a search by access panel, and it's still only the two.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't exist as a definition either. So, wow, what a weird deal.
Well, no, it just, I mean, if you're going to inspect a whirlpool tub properly, you're going to open an access panel, but we don't have to have that in the standard.
No, we don't. You know? So, I think it's good the way it is, and from what you guys have articulated, I think the definition is okay as it currently stands.
Well, we're getting shorter, though. We need to make that a 6-foot step.
That sounds like a policy concern beyond what I can help.
So, I guess I'm wondering if we even really have to define that.
I don't think we need to even touch it.
I think the definition could come out.
Oh.
We could all live our
lives. Well, then we'll have to go back in and change all those in heating and cooling.
Well, no. Not every sentence or phrase is defined. It's pretty clear what a readily accessible is right above it, which kind of describes thing, right? Yeah, and the definition. So.
Didi, what do you think about readily acceptable? Accessible.
Readily openable, or just do you need a definition? That's your question.
Yeah, do we need a definition?
Look right above the, go down, scroll
up.
Up a little.
There you go.
So readily accessible is defined.
Okay.
And then somehow readily openable access panel got thrown in to heating and cooling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for no apparent reason, because it's easy to understand what that means.
Would we
reason. I mean, there might be particular. If you're talking about heating and cooling.
Just go back to heating and cooling instead and call it readily accessible. Right, and don't readily openable access panel.
Well, is it? I guess my question to that would be: are there heating and cooling systems that have access panels that are significantly different from access panels and other systems?
Well, they're part of the unit. Where other systems, they would be in walls or in platforms, you know. Like electrical would be in a wall, and plumbing under a tub would be in a wall or through the platform.
So if you say access panels or readily accessible access panels, you're talking about something different in the context of a heating and cooling system than you would be talking about in other contexts.
A little bit. Because HVAC, heating and cooling, the homeowner should be in there once a month changing a filter, and they have a metal compartment
once a
quarter, once a lifetime. I don't know. So it's the manufacturer built that into the device to provide it, and it may swing open or slide off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Versus access panel to a pump for a whirlpool tub would be something built by the builder, you know, framed out. And,
mm-hmm. So that you can get under it, that's all.
But readily accessible kind of covers, if it's not, I think everything that we do, it has to be readily accessible, or we do not have to do it.
Period. Fair enough. Well,
so why have this oddity?
I don't know why, but my Chesterton's fence, I don't know if anyone else has heard that analogy, my Chesterton's fence sense is going off with this one.
Okay, come
on. You walk up to a fence and two people look at it. One says they want to tear it down because it's in the way. The other one says, well, wait a minute, you haven't determined why someone put it there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So someone provided for a very elaborate definition. And ASHI still has the definition for readily openable access panel, even if it omits the last sentence. So
Have we looked at that? The definition that ASHI has come up with for readily openable access panel.
What's it say?
It says a panel provided for homeowner inspection and maintenance that is readily accessible within normal reach that can be opened by one person and is not sealed in place.
A little different from what this is.
It's a little different than access panel, but they still apparently have a policy concern where they've given us a separate definition for this. They've included the definition of readily accessible, which is smart, I think.
Nope.
One thing to realize is that if you say readily accessible access panel, you're saying the same thing twice.
Right.
I mean, maybe it's just a sort of a...
Let me give you one...
Odd to say accessible access panel.
Right. I don't think we would keep a separate... If we just moved to readily accessible, I don't think we would keep a separate definition. But my concern is there might be a reason to have readily openable access panel as its own definition.
I can think of one, but it's only because I know what happens in the real world. So, this is pretty clear that a lot of times these compartments on these metal enclosures of an air handler for an air conditioning and heating system, they'll tape that seam so that it doesn't leak air, and we're not going to cut that. But I think readily accessible covers that. We do not have to use destructive measures. That's cutting that tape. We do not have to do that. It destroys the seal.
But you would have to open a fastener or a latch device.
Okay, so what happens in the real world, just so you know, I'm going to throw it out there. It's our little secret. Don't be mad at me. But so we've seen compartments like that with 18 screws, and we've seen it with 4 screws or 2 screws or 1 screws, and guys will call it no longer readily accessible based on
the
4
numbers.
Screws or more than 4 screws, that's not for the homeowner anymore, really, right? So, but that's really hard to throw into the definitions, you know, account of how many screws it takes to get in there. But that's real world for you.
So
I've heard inspectors doing that a lot.
That seems to be a very good policy reason then for keeping the separate definition.
But it does not clarify the number of screws where it's okay to not inspect it.
Right. So
well, you don't want to. You want the home inspector to be able to make his own decisions.
I agree.
After all, the inspection is the opinion of the home inspector. So he is...
There's other factors. There's these weird torque screws and all these different configurations of screws that once it gets out of a flat screwdriver and a Phillips screwdriver, it's no longer... In a home inspector's mind, this is no longer a homeowner access panel. This is not designed for them because these are exotic screws, right?
So my thought is, based on that, I know we probably can't give clarification as to Phillips versus flathead or number of screws. I take the point that this is a little bit of an unwieldy definition, but I keep hearing things that make me think we probably should keep this definition separate. So what I would suggest, in the interest of moving forward, keep all of it until we get to 4-foot stepladder and just say, and otherwise readily accessible. And so we do what Ashy did and incorporate the readily accessible definition. But there seems to be good reason that Ashy has kept all of the rest of this in place. So, after 4-foot stepladder. And otherwise readily accessible. If you guys are amenable to that.
Limited to those panels within normal reach from a 4-foot step ladder and otherwise readily accessible.
Yes.
Because we're not expecting homeowners to get on higher ladders. You know?
Okay. I don't have any problem with that. I was good to limit the whole thing.
Cool. I think that's pretty good stuff.
Okay, what's next?
Roof drainage systems. Do we really need splash blocks?
Whoever wrote that rule was trying to think of how many kind of roof drainage systems you might run into. Splash blocks is part of it.
So keep it?
Why not?
Yeah. Any more we should add?
I can't think of any. You got your gutters, your downspouts. You got gutters, downspouts, readers, splash blocks. You got scuppers. And roof drains, and secondary roof drains.
you know, for flat roofs.
I have heard of those terms in engineering ACs. Mm-hmm. I remember looking up scuppers in the middle of the night.
Yeah. So gutters, scuppers, downspouts, meters, splash, block, boom. I would just add scuppers.
Might as well scupper.
And just like it sounds.
S-C-U-P-P-E-R-S.
Yeah, scupper. Maybe roof drains.
Yeah, roof drains.
Roof drains, because roof drains and scuppers are two different animals. Downspouts, meters, splash blocks. And why not splash blocks?
Yeah, Roger, do you like splash blocks or no? And all that, really. Is a,
I know, it's a component of the system.
It is, if it's there, right?
If it's there, yeah.
And we have to catch all and similar components, so.
Yeah.
What about when it converts them to like an underground system?
Well, underground we don't worry about.
Anything that talks about piping underground is talking about plumbing. As it exists. As the
so you want to have put in an exclusion?
And any underground components or something like that.
Excluding
yeah, actually at my house now I have gutters, downspouts, then we go
underground.
Underground.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know where the outfall is, you know.
Yeah, who knows where it terminates, yeah. Whether it's clogged or not.
So any underground components or something like that.
So you want to exclude them.
Oh, that's right.
We're in the definition.
Definitions.
So we're not currently, none of these currently as it's written would talk about underground components, right? None
right.
of those things are underground. So why don't we just add those two additional ones and
be done with
it. Yeah.
Yep.
What's a leader?
It's a downspout.
Okay.
If you go to order up a meter, they'll drag out from the back a downspout. 8 footer.
So wait a sec.
Just that formatting issue then.
So
well, downspouts and meters are... Well,
so the underground portion could be argued as a leader.
Well, it says to carry water off the roof
you've
and away from the building.
You've still got track changes on, so it's not going to do one of... Yeah.
Mine carries it underground away from the building.
I try anyways.
My leader carries it underground and away from the building. And it's completely not observable, and I have... And when I'm there the very first time, I have no idea where it's out.
Okay, so you're in the wrong spot. Let's leave this just like you got it, and let's go up to exteriors, where we talk about inspecting roof drainage, roofing. We'll go to roofing.
So the roof section?
Yeah. And I'm in there. The roof section.
I'm there, Peter.
Oh, you there? Okay, so the inspector shall observe roof drainage systems, comma, excluding. Well, you want to put an exclusion in there? No. Do we have an exclusion?
It
not
just re-
okay,
not required.
Not required to underground roof drainage systems.
Yeah.
Okay, put a C in there. Not required to. Not required to observe, right? Observe underground roof drainage systems.
And actually, like, maybe it could be contained, the portion that's contained in the wall, too, or a column.
Well, there are some hidden columns in the wall.
So, like...
okay, no, leave that there. And then let's go up to 6.1 and put visible roof drainage systems.
That's all. Just add the word visible.
Okay.
And then
visible roof drainage systems, and then leave the 6.3 in there for clarifications. And that works for me.
Yeah.
How about you?
All right, that works.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I ask you, Jim, how long you think you're going to bring this? Because I haven't seen it.
We only have 4 items to go.
But they're big items.
No, are they?
Not. They're not.
No, they're
very easy.
They're just definitions.
Yeah. I may have to leave the meeting.
Well, 20 minutes? You got 20 minutes?
She's got another meeting at 2, so she
at
has
two.
8 minutes.
8 minutes? Okay.
8 minutes.
That's okay, Deanie. If you have to, that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's
so safety glass, if we power
glazing.
Safety glazing, yeah. So that's defined as tempered glass, laminate glass, or rigid. Plastic.
And it says technically correct. How about wired glass?
Well, wired glass was the first type of safety glass. I don't know if it's considered safety glass anymore. Is it still?
It is a form of
not my world.
It has a safety component to it.
We don't
That's an exclusion.
We don't... safety glass. Wire glass was the first...
Glazing.
Safety glazing.
Why don't we just add in wired glass, comma?
I don't know that he's concerned about the scope. I think he might be saying wired glass is a more appropriate term than safety glazing.
No, because wired glass is only...
That's the old kind.
That's the old kind. There's no wire in the new kinds.
So, I guess that's the kind of adjust the concern is.
I think he was just worried that we didn't have enough in there.
Okay.
So, well, his specific comment for safety glazing was technically incorrect, comma, how about wired glass, question mark. That's what he said.
So, Adam.
Okay.
Tempered glass, wired glass, laminate glass, or rigid plastic? Actually, rigid plastic is your laminate glass.
So after tempered glass, go put wired glass, comma.
Yeah, wired glass, comma.
Sounds good.
And we're done.
Unsafe.
Wait, if we add
structural
this
components.
Help.
Oh, there was one more.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Structural components, consider ash use.
I mean, actually,
a component that supports non-variable forces or weights, in parens, dead loads, and variable forces or weights, in parens, live loads. So a component that supports. And so.
They stop there, right?
That's it.
Stop there. And then it went on to talk about what they are to give the homeowner, to give the inspector a heads up.
So that's like giving an example.
That's what it's
so
doing.
Strike that.
Strike it.
Strike everything past live load.
Yeah.
I agree
with
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah, I'll support that.
Okay, good. All it was examples.
Okay, so unsafe.
Okay, what do you say? I agree with it, whatever you said. I gotta go up and see what he said. If we add this definition, use ash use. Ash use must have a better, they must have a better definition. What does theirs read?
Theirs reads a condition.
You scroll down to unsafe.
Oh. I don't think.
Okay, read ash use.
Ash use says a condition in a readily accessible, comma, installed system or component that is judged by the inspector to be a significant risk of serious bodily injury during normal day-to-day use. The risk may be due to damage, comma, deterioration, comma, improper installation, comma, or a change in accepted residential construction practices. Ooh, that last one sucks.
Well,
the end of that.
We had a typo on ours. We never finished the sentence.
The only change is what?
Significant risk of personal injury.
No, judged means by the inspector to be added.
By the inspector. Judged by the inspector. Let's see what it says. By the inspector. What's it say after that?
By the inspector to be a significant risk of serious bodily injury during normal day-to-day. Yes.
Serious bodily injury.
Well, how about minor bodily injuries?
I know. I'm sorry, did it still say significant risk, or...?
No, they took that out.
So,
that is judged by the inspector to be a significant risk of serious bodily injury during normal...
Okay, unscore serious risk. There you go.
I would suggest that you not use serious bodily injury because it's... I believe it as personal injury.
Yeah. I agree.
Wait.
You can bump your head, knock yourself out, you can scratch it doesn't have to be serious to stop you from going in there.
So any personal injury.
Kind of has a legal definition, and it's sort of like something that's likely to cause death. I mean, I don't like it either.
So where did this come from? Can you
Ashy.
Can you tell us where this word it exists in the body of the standards?
Unsafe.
Yeah, unsafe.
Everywhere.
Only in other definitions, apparently. differently.
Only in other definitions.
Major defects.
Nothing in the body to report, huh?
No.
Okay, well,
so only two places, automatic safety control and major defect. Which are important definitions, so.
Yeah.
So the oddity, okay, so what this happens to involved also because of the very end of the description here is that it includes everything that is a change in residential construction practices,
right.
Accepted, whatever that is. That means code.
Right.
That's a fluffy way to get around the word code, and that seems problematic to me.
Is it all that different in your view from adopted residential construction standards, which the definition currently uses?
Yes, I don't like that. Because we here's real world again. We're going to go to real world home inspectors, and we have
We get to real world, like definition changes.
I hate that.
So you hate both of them.
I hate
is what
both
I was
of them.
Trying to get.
Yeah, okay. I hate both of them because that means code. And code, we cannot do code because the home was built in the 70s, and I don't know what they said in the 70s. I don't know when this city adopted.
We need a Westlaw account for that.
Exactly. And so, but we do literally pick and choose, and we do kind of enforce a few codes, like where's the GFCI protection? We report on that. And openings in railings and... You know,
so you report
guardrails.
You report things
that we
are
believe are.
The best way to understand.
I was going somewhere different with that. I was going to say you report on things that touch on code subjects, but you are not responsible for enforcing the code or knowing what the code
is. The best way to say that is that we don't do code. Even though a home inspection is based in code, we don't do code inspections because codes change from town to town, year to year. Okay. So everything we do is based in code because that's a standard.
And unless you want to be the only home inspector in Wickenburg and Wickenburg only to develop your expertise, you don't want to be tied to towns or cities.
Can they just delete that sentence?
That's another use of an example, and it's terrible. It's causing lots of trouble, so we should make that go away.
It's right. Well,
may go away.
It wouldn't be damage, deterioration, or improper installation, though, right?
That's an example of stuff.
That's code. That's still code.
That's just an example. There could be others, and let's just take that out. We are not practicing the insertion of examples throughout this document.
Gotcha. Fair enough. That's good policy.
Thank you.
Inspector would be a significant risk. You still want to keep personal injury? Because that seems to broaden what the inspector is responsible for.
No. Personal, to the word personal in that is mm-hmm. trouble a little bit?
Well, no, rather. So you had the option of going with Ashy's serious bodily injury, which would narrow the range of things that an inspector is responsible for versus any potential, as actually the examples you were pointing out, bumping your head or.
Well, no, it's not. This
yourself.
Isn't about the inspector now. This is about.
Well, it is.
Unsafe.
It's judged by the inspector.
Judged by the inspector to be a significant risk of personal injury by normal day-to-day use. He's not in there doing normal day-to-day use.
Well, that wasn't my point. My point was...
We want the narrow definition.
Right, so if you want the narrow definition, pick serious bodily injury. Because serious bodily injury is a narrower category of personal injury.
And it's well-defined in the legal community, right?
Yeah.
It generally leads to death.
So it's only injuries that are significantly I think it's not just death, it's also maiming or loss of use of a particular organ is also accompanied with serious bodily injury.
It's a pretty high bar.
It's a high bar, and it's narrower of the normal, like, you're not worried about bumps on the head, you're worried about, is this going to cut my arm off? That's the difference.
So I think that's too high of a bar, maybe.
It is way too high for me.
If it causes a broken bone. I've done EACs, you might have been in it, where we were looking at x-rays of broken bones because the stair assembly...
I do think broken bone would...
It would qualify?
Yeah, it would qualify probably.
this is like me going off the cuff. I'd actually have to go back and look at like first year reports. If you're worried, my only thing is, if you're worried about narrowing the risk for the inspector, pick serious bodily injury. If you think that's too high of a bar,
personal injury
works, but you're
so there's nothing in between. This one sounds real low, a significant risk meaning high probability. Yeah.
And I guess, right? and to your point, I think judged by the inspector makes this condition entirely subjective.
Right.
The only thing this definition, if you look at it in its entirety, relies on is what's in the mind of the inspector. So the only way the inspector can violate this is if they see something, they know it is unsafe, and they fail to report on it. Right. That's the only way they are liable here. They're not liable if they are viewing something that they should think is unsafe, that a reasonable person would think is unsafe, but they don't think is unsafe.
Right.
They're not liable under those circumstances. So I don't know, which of those two camps you want this to fall into. Do you want them to be responsible if they should have known something and didn't act, or only if they knew it and didn't say anything?
I think they messed up in their thinking. What they meant to say was to be a risk of significant personal injury. And they put significant in the wrong spot in that sentence.
So it's any risk of significant personal injury.
Right.
Significant personal injury is not well defined.
It's not?
As far as I'm aware, no.
Is that good in a legal sense?
Good for who?
Is Jeannie still
us?
I'm just joking.
Good for who? And that does kind of get unfortunate.
But I think it's just in the wrong place. A significant risk means high probability, right?
Yeah. High probability.
That's very different.
Any injury.
Just to make sure.
Right.
Versus any
significant
risk
or significant injury is different.
But again, significant personal injury. I don't think that's a well-defined term.
How about we blow it all away? How about a condition in a readily accessible installed system or component which is judged to be a risk of personal injury during normal day-to-day use?
Then that's a really low bar. That's a scratch.
And you're getting rid of whatever protection is there for the inspector.
That's every scratch they get. So what about the one that's well-defined?
Serious bodily injury.
And then that's got to include broken bones and stuff, doesn't it?
That would be serious to me.
That's true. Mine hurt. I've got broken bones.
I would frankly have to go back and look to make sure. My guess would be yes. Educated guess would be yes.
Let's put it in for now, and then if there's a way to asterisk, and then put an asterisk down below and say review legal term.
We've got to review the whole thing next time anyway, right?
Yeah, but if we want to remember to review that legal definition, is that state by state, or think that's universal?
That's state by state. That's a tort term, and every state has its own tort rules, common law.
Okay, so we'll...
Do we still want to keep, since we've that bar up, serious bodily injury, do we want to keep it as a subjective condition judged by the inspector, or do we want to make it like a reasonable person standard?
Let the inspector do it, because we just have...
So we now have like two bulwarks against liability for the inspector. We have the fact that it's his determination. And as long as he doesn't, subjectively think something is unsafe and not report it, right, that's the only way he fails to meet that standard. So if you guys are okay with that from a policy perspective, that's
if you drill it down, have you never reported that? Like if you've done 6,000 inspections and you've never reported this?
Really? Yeah, you can do that.
So, I think there's ways to defeat whatever they're trying to hide behind. Because their peers may not be doing that,
Well, it would be, but it wouldn't just be their peers. It's not what a reasonable home inspector would do. It's you have to, I guess, get in that case, since we're going to litigation, what is a jury going to think about that?
Well, don't forget that your entire inspection report is being judged by the inspector. The inspection is the inspector's opinion of what he sees.
But in other cases, we talk about reasonableness and other things that have to be judged more universally versus this particular definition, which we are
we're only requiring... I'm running around in circles.
Do we use reasonable in here very much? Is the word reasonable in there, in the document?
That's gone.
Okay,
drainage.
Okay, so just functional drainage.
Functional.
Those are the only two.
Yeah, that's it.
And those were appropriate.
Oh, that's also a typo, by the way. Thank you for drawing that.
Oh, people, I gotta check out.
Okay, no problem.
We're done anyway.
Yeah, we got one more, right?
No, the immediate major repair we already talked about.
We did.
We're finished.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think you shouldn't remove the words in there.
Which ones?
The next issue we're just working on about unsafe. I don't think you should remove the words significant.
Remove which words?
Significant.
Significant?
So severe's not as good as significant.
No, I think he means the risk
should
also be judged addition to seriousness.
Okay, we put it back.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
Good.
Yeah, that's
see you all later.
Good
thank
thought.
You,
thank you so much.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, appreciate it. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, it's nothing substantial.
I was going to motion to leave, so...
I was actually going to ask if I could motion to leave, because this will be my last meeting, since I'll have to resign. I'm taking a judicial employee position.
Oh,
so.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Cut it out, man. We don't have people coming and going.
Coming to like you.
The nice thing is it's an eight-month position. It might turn into a year and 8 months, but if it's only 8 months and I'm back in private practice at the end of the year, I'm going to ask to be reappointed, so we'll see if that happens.
Will you be on the board meeting?
I start on the 24th, and the board meeting is the 25th.
So then,
so you're off the board.
So he cannot advocate for our stuff.
No. Here's a thought. As a private citizen, no, because I can't do anything that requires me to regularly practice or to regularly appear before an administrative board. That's the rule that trips me up and prevents me from doing that. I will say, I can still talk to staff until I resign, and I can talk to you guys and say, here's what I would suggest if you guys talk to the board.
I mean, technically, anything before you resign, you can just give me, this is what I think of these rules,
yeah,
and give me an opinion that goes on the board.
Yeah.
True.
Like, because we're both, like, I really wanted to push for us getting this far down the road like we did,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Paul and I are facing reappointment or not, which would be highly disruptive if we were, you know, depending on how far along we are, if this gets opened up more to get revisited or all that. But, you know, as far as your ability to advocate for keeping the continuity of the committee is what I'm saying too.
I don't think I have any role in advocating for that, unfortunately. I don't think I...
I've seen it done.
Okay.
If Dee Dee was still with us, she'd probably say this is not on your agenda.
I know, I was going to say you need to
finish
your meeting.
Yeah, sorry. Good point.
So I was just going to say, I move to adjourn the meeting.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye. Now,
thank you. This meeting is adjourned.
We can talk about other things.
Well, we can't talk about one business.
Nothing about business.
Yeah. 2:10.
We're going to miss you.
I forgot that.
We were just getting...